Paul and Seth, a text of what the Astros have been doing in the wake of the Rockets losing. It's the exact opposite of when we found out Deshaun Watson tore his ACL. I 100% agree.
That's a 100% accurate take. Except that, well, when Deshaun Watson tore his ACL, oh, that's right, it was right after the World Series. I remember doing a... So, when Deshaun Watson tore his ACL in practice on a Wednesday, right?
Right.
It was. I was driving to Target. I got a text from somebody, and I checked my text. Kids, don't do that. It's illegal in some counties here. And it was that news. And I didn't... I kept driving to Target, and I got this call from Jim Miller on Sirius Radio, because he and I were teammates back in the day. So he wanted to get my... He wanted to talk about the text... He wanted to talk about the Texans, and I couldn't put my words together. I was like, well, no. I mean,
oh, you did know why.
He wanted
to
talk about Deshaun Watson, but he didn't fully appreciate. That's what it was. He wanted to talk about Deshaun Watson, but he didn't fully appreciate exactly how weird it was for the city of Houston that we were also still trying to celebrate a World Series victory. And I'm like wandering around through Target with my radio voice, basically like I was in a glass cage of emotion. All these Target shoppers are looking at me weird, like what's this guy's deal? But I was basically having an emotional breakdown in Target, postpartum women do. But for me, it was awful. It was like one of the worst moments of my sports life, trying to figure out how to do all that. So you're right, the Astros now, on the other end of it, are still delivering in a positive way, but they're doing it to lift people up out of the Rockets' misery.
I'm very happy to have them here. It's a team that you can act cocky entirely because you happen to be born in a specific geographical location, or you live in a specific geographical location. You've seen the light and you've jumped on the bandwagon, yeah. Like I have myself. For me, Seth, I did the overnight. Hey, the Astros won the World Series. I went till 4 a.m. and I slept for like 12 hours. And I woke up and my phone says, Deshaun Watson has basically torn his ACL.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. This is wonderful. Because that to me was more of a kick in the nads than, because I was like, well, I got a bunch of months left of Houston Texans football and this is going to be bad.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be bad. We're going to go back to Tom Savage. He's going to get sacked 10 times a game. And he did.
Yeah, they got sacked 10 times, if that helps at all. It was,
yeah, they did. They were like, all right, well, we're going to stop trying to score points.
It never got as bad as it was in the Jacksonville game. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. But then the other text, of course, that we get is because I was pointing out, hey, it was the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers were doing anything and everything they could to put.
They're a bad
baseball
team.
At one point, they're putting their worst pitchers out there because they know it's a lost cause and they don't want to waste their good pitchers versus the Astros. So, all I said was that now I'm excited for this Red Sox series because, okay, this is a real baseball team. Right, and this is and you've got a personal and recent history with them.
Vengeance!
So, of course, I get, Seth, you're a realist. You're not a realist. You're so negative. You should pack up and head up to 45 North. I'm sure Dallas would love your broadcasting skills.
Are they negative up there? I thought Dallas, the self-proclaimed Los Angeles of the South, doesn't care about sports. They're above that.
They're still basking in all their previous championships. That's all that ever comes up in any argument with anybody in Dallas.
The ones like 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, but you wouldn't say that to Larry Allen's face. I'm not talking about Larry Allen. I'm talking about Ezekiel Elliott.
He is Seth Payne. I am Paul Gallant. It is Mad Radio and Sports Radio 610. The Houston Rockets, they've got a lot of stuff that they're going to need to do this offseason, and I'm not sure what it is that they will be able to do that can get them to a higher level that would potentially allow them to beat a Golden State Warriors team the next time around. All I'm going to do, as someone who has always struggled to like the Rockets the way that I like the Astros and the Texans, is send a brief letter. Dear Rockets, don't send the NBA an audit based off of this 538 report.
538.com.
538.com. It's the nerd website with all the statistics that you can handle. Here is a passage from a piece titled, Where Do the Rockets Go From Here? The rate at which Harden gets to the free throw line has declined in each of his past four postseason runs by an average of 17.1%, even as the league's free throw rate has increased in the playoffs by an average of 5.4% in the same span. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it.
Paul.
No.
Paul,
no.
Look at the concrete numbers. I have to.
You know what? The problem is, those are noteworthy enough numbers to merit
it does,
an audit
it does make you think,
or
like,
a
what
report.
Yeah, it does. It does really catch your eye.
Look, I get it. I actually get it right now.
Yeah.
For you guys, the Houston Rockets, obviously listening. Tad Brown, close personal friend. Guys, I understand the feeling right now. Just don't do it. Please don't. I'm trying. I'm trying my best to like you. I'm trying my best to get behind you. Do you think I want to feel the way that I do watching the Rockets when it's not PJ Tucker doing PJ Tucker things? No, I don't. I don't want to feel that way. I watched 82 basketball games and then all the postseason games that they played. I want to love them. I want them to be close to my heart, and I want to give them that hug. I want to give them that butt pat, maybe even a little squeeze at the very end. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me, Seth, and it's because sometimes they complain a little too much.
I wonder, the one thing I wonder about it with Harden is the rest of the league might have increased foul calls, but when we watch teams, and especially over the last few years, teams have realized, obviously, that that's his greatest strength. One of his greatest strengths is getting to the free throw line. And teams make very concerted efforts not to foul him, you know, and you see him defending with their hands back or over. Like, whether they don't always go to the extreme measures the Lakers did in the regular season, but they've got their hands back and they're trying real hard not to foul Harden because they know that Harden draws foul calls that are legitimate foul calls. Like, yeah, he accentuates it with a flop like everybody does, but he's drawing contact. So teams are extremely focused on not fouling him. And there's times where they miss calls. Yes, I agree with that. But I don't think it's as simple as, wow, look, it's obvious that the refs are out to get him. I think it's that everybody, the opponents and the refs included, are like really on their P's and Q's and trying to figure out whether it's an actual foul or not. And the opponents, going back to when the Spurs really started first figuring out, have gotten better and better at doing it.
That's definitely true. Teams have figured out how to stay back a little bit.
Yeah.
I also think that there is something to be said for the way that Chris Paul, James Harden, other players across the NBA compose themselves when it comes to just getting upset with fouls that aren't called. I do think that referees, sometimes they get a little turned off by it and they don't do their job to the same degree that they should. That is bogus.
Yeah.
But when you bitch and moan all the time, it becomes boy who cried wolf.
I wonder, though, that's where I'm skeptical of, just because they get the reports every game. So the officials are being monitored to the point where they get fired, you know, based on their performance if it's bad. And I know it's the Scott Foster stuff is ridiculous. But Scott Foster aside, it's not like these guys are getting away with just doing stuff like that for their own ego or pride, because there's still a report. It's like, if I'm going to tell off a teacher and there's no punishment, then I'll tell off the teacher. But if I know that that teacher is going to, you know, affect my grade, I'm going to watch myself. And that's where I have a hard time really believing that officials take it that personally on a wide scale basis, that that's what's going on.
I think on egregious fouls, if they do, you're right, they're going to get exposed 100%. But on the borderline ones, you can probably get away with a few where you don't make that call. And I wonder. I just wonder.
No, you're right. And
you're human beings.
You do it at the margins because you still see makeup calls too. So, you know, I don't know, like when a referee has to meet with his official and has to explain the makeup call, if he says like, well, come on, wink, wink, it was a makeup call. I don't know if they get it marked down for that or if that's okay when they do that. But you do see that. The only thing there, Paul, okay, so let's say they are affected by guys whining and complaining too much. The Warriors are pretty bad themselves.
They are. You know? It's an epidemic across basketball. It's not just the Rockets. The Rockets, we watch a lot, and it seems like they do it a lot because we watch it a lot.
4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, they were given technicals out for everything. Like, you'd look crossways at an official, and they'd give you a technical. Now it's gotten back to where now that's what seems petty more than anything. Because, like, Chris Paul got that one technical in the playoffs just basically for giving a dirty look at the ref. I wish they'd go back to being more strict about it. They just got to be, it's like everything else with the
consistency.
NBA. Be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, do it every time, all the time, and then people won't have as many conspiracy theories about it.
Seth Payne, Paul Gallant, it's Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. I've always wanted to explain how I feel about the Houston Rockets in a way that everyone understands, because I think a lot of people think that I dislike the Rockets. I don't dislike them, but I will be totally honest. The Astros, the Texans, they are much easier for me to get behind than the Houston Rockets. So I'm just going to pretend like all of a sudden I decided to stop using condoms and I have 3 children. The Houston Astros are my oldest child, Seth Payne. You know, they've made it after a lot of hard work. They're successful. They've maintained it. I go to bed never worrying about them. I think that when I'm old and in a nursing home, they are going to provide me with drugs, and they are going to make my time in said nursing home great because it's not going to be a bad one.
Right.
The Astros, I trust 100%.
Yeah. They'll actually monitor the care you're getting. They're not going to let the creepy, weird dude be your main character.
Exactly. Yeah. Ben Stiller is not going to abuse me while Happy Gilmore is away trying to win back his grandpa's house.
They'll get to know the supervisor. They'll do all the right things all the time.
They're going
to
take care of me. I feel very confident about that. The youngest child, it's the Texans. So they're the newest.
Uh-huh.
They're the constant focus of my attention. And they're very frustrating. I mean, we're kind of changing their diapers all the time. That's what it feels like at times when they have a poo-poo performance, like 21-7 losing to the Colts.
But you know what they are, though? They're not a child like, say, the Cleveland Browns had been up until last season. They're not a complete loser or anything.
There's still hope.
They're the kid that's not reaching up to his potential. It's like your smart kid that should be... Sometimes you have a kid that's getting C's and you're okay with it because you know, like, hey, he's probably tapped out at a C and I know he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But then you got the kid that should be getting A's and they're only getting B's. And then that bothers you even more than the kid that's getting C's because it's untapped potential. That's what you feel like with the Houston Texans.
Yes, exactly. And look, I can understand that of all the teams, they have been the most frustrating. I just think because they're the baby, we focus on them more than the other ones. And for me, the Rockets, they're the middle child. They are good. They are really good, but they're so desperate for attention. And because they are so desperate for the attention, you know, I've had three kids. I just get turned off.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've been dealing with y'all for 18 years. I'm tired of y'all.
Do you think you're affected as much by the actual players or as some of the people in the organization or in the fan base?
It's not.
Harden, if anything, doesn't seem to want, like, he doesn't invite attention. It's almost to the point where, like, that's what people don't like about him is that he's aloof.
That's true. I will admit, I am turned off by the broadcast. Uh-huh. The broadcast to me, it reeks of Jan on the Brady Bunch. You know, Jan on the Brady Bunch, always mad about all the attention that Marcia was getting.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marcia is at this, or how wonderful Marcia did that. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Now, sweetheart.
All those awards staring me in the face was just too much. I'm tired of being in Marcia's shadow all the time.
And that's how the Rockets sometimes feel when they're talking about just their status here in this city and their status compared to other teams in the NBA. And they do deserve credit. I mean, they are the only team that has challenged the Golden State Warriors consistently over the last couple of years. That side of it has always turned me off, along with the aesthetics of their play. I'll be honest. For me, just personally, I like to watch brute dominating force basketball, like what Giannis does, a little bit more than I like what the Rockets do. The Rockets, what they do, it's really well. They do it really, really well. But
I don't know.
That's my explanation for my feelings on the Rockets.
Because that, when it comes to style of play, is it brute Antetokounmpo type play, or is it just flow in general? Because the breakup and flow, like, because when Chris Paul was running the show,
the flow's good
during the season there for that little bit. Yeah, you enjoy watching it more. There's more flow to it. There's fewer stoppages, and it's not like the Rockets take that many more threes than the Golden State Warriors enough to affect like that part of it. It's the fouls. It's the foul shots that really. Well, no, it's the fouls, and it's the letting the clock. It's the iso ball and the letting the clock drain down to, you know, 1 or 2 seconds left on the clock. That's, I think, at times frustrating to watch. That's why people just don't quite, they're not the lovable team that the Astros is.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, that's hard to be the Astros in the Rockets' defense. He is Seth Payne. I'm Paul Gallant. Mike on vacation. It is Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610. Up next, your morning headlines, your hilarious situation in the National Football League. It is great that this team continues to be the comedic relief that we always need. You'll hear what I'm talking about next, Mad Radio.